Mark Cram Jr. was working for the Philadelphia Daily News when he first became acquainted with Buddy Miley in 1993. Miley had been a high school football star until he'd sustained a broken neck during a game in 1973. Mark Cram learned of his circumstances through a letter Buddy Miley's mother had written to Sports Illustrated 19 years after her son's injury. She took the NFL to task for, quote, glamorizing bone-jarring hits like the one that had made her son a quadriplegic and had made her home, quote, hell on earth. In his new book, Like Any Normal Day, Mark Cram Jr. tells the story of the life of Buddy Miley. The author joins me now from WHYY in Philadelphia. Mark, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill.
When you first met Buddy Miley at his home in Warminster, Pennsylvania in 1993, you were both 37 years old. What had his life been like since he'd been injured 19 years earlier?
It had been a long ordeal, Bill. When he was injured, he was very much at the height of all his physical powers. He was, you know, young, handsome, athletic, the big man on campus. And all that was taken away from him in an instant. In one split second of horror on the football field, he was deprived of everything in what was essentially a clean hit. But from that point on, he lived under the care of his mother. Friends visited him, although they drifted away as the years passed. And he was essentially in a bubble that sort of where he was contained at age 17.
You describe the members of Buddy's family as, quote, united by duty and love, but worn down by unremitting stress. United or not, it's fair to say the lion's share of the stress fell on Buddy's mother, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. Rosemary. He called her Saint Rosemary. And she cared for him 24/7, was up in the middle of the night with him when he had some need. If a fly, for instance, had landed on his face and he couldn't move it, he would have to call out to his mother to shoo the fly away. The largest duties that she performed, the smallest duties.
One of the ways in which Buddy coped with his circumstances was to invent a kind of alternative life for himself. That was a life that involved Karen Shields. Tell us about their relationship.
Karen and Buddy had met their senior year. They caught each other's eye, and they were supposed to go out on their first date the night of Buddy's game, the game in which he was injured. That didn't happen, but Karen began to come to the hospital every day to chat and to comfort Buddy, and they fell in love. And by the end of the school year, Karen moved on to Florida with her parents and left Buddy behind. But the bond that had formed with them became for Buddy a projection of what life could have been like and should have been like for him, this projection of normalcy.
As you mention in the book, Buddy Miley did make several visits to several different places to try and get some help with his condition. Perhaps the most dramatic finds him at Lourdes. Tell us a little about that.
That was a trip that was financed by the old Baltimore Colts great, Alan Ameche. He scored the winning touchdown in the greatest game ever played, the Colts and the Giants back in the 50s. And Ameche was a big-hearted man. He was a generous man. He got to know Buddy through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and would often visit him and would often make donations to the family in one form or another. And being a devout man, Ameche thought it would be a good idea to sort of make this Hail Mary pass and send it to Jimmy and his brother to Lourdes, which they did and went. And Jimmy, rolled Buddy to the shrine and dipped him in the water and bathed him in the water. And they basically waited for a miracle to happen. Of course, it didn't.
In 1997, Buddy Miley convinced his younger brother Jimmy to help him get to a motel in Michigan where Dr. Jack Kevorkian would assist in Buddy's suicide. Were you shocked when you learned that that had happened?
Startled, but upon reflection, not necessarily shocked. I sensed from Buddy that when I spoke with him that he was worn down. And remember, he had searing pain. He would be shot through with pain. It would be almost like he was shot with a taser gun. And he talked to me about this sense of longing he had that was even worse than anything, his inability to connect with and have a relationship with a woman. So when I added up all those factors and reflected upon it, it didn't seem to be a shock at all.
What made you decide to revisit the Miley family and write a book about them?
It was so inviting to me as a writer. because it was ordinary people who were caught in extraordinary circumstances. What happened to the Mileys could happen to anybody. You know, I looked upon Jimmy Miley as an extraordinarily brave man, because Buddy asked several people to sort of help him out of his predicament over the years, and nobody could do it.
Have you any sense, Mark, how Jimmy Miley and the rest of Buddy's family and Karen Shields are doing today?
They're doing well. For Jimmy, it's still an emotional story that he struggles with. The family seems to have embraced what I've done with the book. Karen, it's been a relief for her to tell her side of the story. When Buddy died, I mean, it was 15 years ago, but it was interesting to me that within a half an hour of interviewing all the key players in the book, that they were actually weeping. That tells me that they carried Buddy in their hearts.
Buddy's mother wrote that letter to Sports Illustrated almost 20 years ago, in part to urge the NFL to contribute to research to help people with spinal injuries. Is that perhaps also part of your intent in writing Like Any Normal Day?
That wasn't my aim. My aim was to reach people on a more human level. I wanted to get people talking to each other about not just this story, but the events that are happening in their own lives. Dr. Kevorkian was a zealot, but now he's been gone for a year, and I think it's time for the nation to have a more sober conversation about the issue of self-determination, not just end-of-life issues, but end-of-rope issues, if you will. And Buddy was surely at the end of his rope. I've had this in my family, and I know what it does to a family. And I know that it's a very confusing situation because you're torn between wanting peace for someone, but you're also torn with not wanting to let them go. It's a complicated, complicated matter.
Mark Cram Jr. is the author of Like Any Normal Day, subtitled A Story of Devotion. The book is published by St. Martin's Press, and the author joined me from WHYY in Philadelphia. Mark, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.